Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned.
Awesome. Good morning. Awesome. That is a great response. This is going to be a good morning. Well, thank you, Pastor John and Charisse. Yeah, you guys are incredible. I felt very loved, and I've only been here for like 45 minutes, an hour or so, so I can't imagine how you guys feel. But like you said, my name is Steven. That's my wife, Lexi, and my daughter, Nora. She's the one that's being held as my daughter, just if that needs to be made clear. But that actually was last weekend. She just got dedicated. So we're really excited for that. We're really excited. She's about to be 11 months this month. So we're in the thick of it. She's starting to stand on her own, which is like super scary for me, but also super exciting. But it's also like just stay in one spot, please. So it's great, but it's also challenging. It's scary. My wife is actually from Waupaca. So this area is like the big city for her and her family. So we love this area. We love this church. And so we're thankful for you guys. We're thankful for your prayers and your partnership with us. Like Pastor John said, we have partnered with you guys, and we're so thankful for that. You're helping transform the world. So I do Chi Alpha, which for those of you that don't know, it's the Assemblies of God College Campus Ministry. And in Eau Claire, our like tagline is friends, disciples, disciple makers. We want to see, it's super simple. We want to see students go from friends to disciples to disciple makers. And when I was in college, I was actually in a fraternity. Was anybody here in a fraternity? Just see, I think like one, two. Cool. All right. I'm surprised. So I was actually in a fraternity. And I transferred after my freshman year because I felt called to ministry. So I transferred to Bible college. And I came back and visited some of my friends in the fraternity. And one of my friends came and sat down next to me. And he lived, like, just to put it as plainly as I can, he lived like the party lifestyle. If you watch a movie about college, like I think the movie's like Animal House or something like that, like he was kind of like one of those guys. It was just like a random Friday afternoon, so it wasn't like anything crazy was going on. And he came back into the house and he sat down. We had a little kitchen area with like bar stools, and I was sitting there, and he sat down next to me and he took a deep sigh. He just went, "Steven, why do I feel so empty all the time?" And there's thousands of college students all across our country, all across the world, that feel that exact same way, that are going through life wondering the exact same thing. Why do I feel so empty all the time? And my dream is that every single one of those students that feels that way would have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, would have an opportunity to hear the cure, the solution to their emptiness, and that is Jesus. And I met another student a few years ago. This is after I was out of college. His name is Jacob, and he had a similar lifestyle his freshman year. I actually met him his freshman year, and it was like the most awkward experience. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit later. But long story short, I asked him to hang out, and he just like stared at me. But I didn't see him again for like another year. And he came back and he came to Chi Alpha. He actually knew someone who had like had his life transformed over the last 9 months or so of being in Chi Alpha. And so he was like, "Okay, so something is going on in your life. I got to check this out. I'm going to see what happened." And then he came to know Jesus, and he started actually like just having his life completely flipped upside down. And he started like, "Oh my gosh, like how I was living is not how I want to continue to live. I want to live for Jesus." And so he started to pursue Jesus. He started to build a relationship with Jesus, and then he actually got invited to lead a small group, and in his small group, he was bringing other people to know Jesus and challenging them to dive deeper in their faith. And now, he graduated, I think, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and now he's teaching in a public school, and he's able to bring the presence of Jesus into a public school. And he's not able to talk or bring anything up, as you know, about Jesus in public school, but he's able to bring that presence. And he's able to pray over his students outside of the classroom, not even directly, but he's praying for them and he's fighting spiritual battles for them just because he's a disciple of Jesus. And my question for you this morning, the thing I want to challenge you with is, what if we had more teachers like that? What if we had more people in the business world like that? What if we had more people who would say, Jesus, I maybe can't be a super open witness here, but I am going to love you with all of my heart, and I'm going to pursue you, and I'm going to pursue the people around me and see lives forever changed. What would happen if more people in the marketplace were on fire for Jesus? Almost everyone that's going to go into the marketplace is going through the university system, whether it's to a tech college, to pursue some sort of tech degree for even just a year or two, or it's through a four-year university. People are, so many of our next generation is going through the college system. So if you want to help us, if you want to partner with us, as we said, the church already partners with us, but if you'd like to partner with us, there's a few ways you can do that. Number one is to give, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. Number two is to pray. Just like my friend Jacob, who's praying for his students, so much happens through prayer. And it, like, really, the ministry doesn't happen without prayer. Otherwise, I'm just like a motivational speaker, and motivational speaking is, like, kind of pointless without Jesus. So, and by kind of pointless, I mean it is pointless without Jesus. So I need your prayer. We need your prayer. Our students need your prayer. And then three, connect us with people. If you know people that are going to Eau Claire, that are in the Eau Claire area, we would love to connect with them. We'd also love to be your friend. I got to meet a few of you before service. I would love to meet more of you. But circling back to giving, we only we have to actually raise a budget to get on campus and do missions full time. And so we actually only need 40 more people to partner with us to get fully funded and to be on campus. And so I just want to ask, would you consider being one of those 40? We only need 40 more, and it might seem like a lot, but it really isn't. I've talked to more than 40 people already. Would you just consider, would you pray and consider partnering with us? This is some, I always like to tell people what your giving goes to. Something like $10 a month would help us take a student out to coffee a couple times a month or once a month, probably more like once a month with how expensive coffee is now. $50 a month helps us pick up students. For some reason, freshmen don't have cars a lot of times. So, you know, it's like, just buy one. So we pick up students a lot, drive them to church, drive them to different groups, pick them up to take them out to get a $10 cup of coffee. It helps us pay for conferences. We just went to a conference about reaching international students this past month, and so it helps us pay for that. It also helps us pay for game nights. We try to have a game night every couple of weeks, or some sort of like community night where we just have fun together. And so we'll bring snacks or games or whatever, whatever is fun for college students. I try to let them plan it, because even just a few years out of college, I'm like, you guys have like evolved, and I have no clue what's fun. So, thank you guys for your partnership, and we just ask that you would pray and consider continuing to partner with us. So as we get started, I hope it's a fun way to connect with you guys. And I think I'm going to get to know you guys a little bit through your reactions. So I've got a couple statements that I personally believe. And number one is, I believe that Popeyes is better than Chick-fil-A. Okay, yeah. See, I'm getting some there. Number two, I believe that the Minnesota Vikings are better than the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, that was the one I was really excited for. That is a little more serious. I believe that God is still moving all across the world. I believe that God is going to work through the local church, through the body of Christ to change the world. And I believe that disciple makers are world changers. So a little of my story. I grew up a CEO. My family, we were super, super important. So CEO stands for Christmas, Easter only, meaning we only came to church on Christmas or Easter. And so I would have considered myself a Christian, but I never really went to church, except, again, Christmas, Easter, the big ones, the important ones. But I grew up in Texas, so, like, everybody's Christian there. But eventually my friend, my senior year, it was actually, like, definitely a God thing at the time. I was just like, oh, cool, like, I get to sit with my friend in class. But we had assigned seats, and our teacher sat us next to each other two semesters in a row. And the second semester, she invited me to church. And we were friends for a while before she invited me to church. And then when I was at church, I gave my life to Jesus. Actually gave my life to Jesus. It wasn't like, oh, you know what, like, Jesus is real. But it was like, oh, I need to follow this guy. I need to know Jesus. It's not just like a, oh, Jesus is there kind of thing anymore. And I went to college. I went to that first university that I was at. And like I said, I was in a fraternity, so I was around a lot of partying, a lot of people that, like, I actually don't think I met someone, or maybe I had met people, but I didn't meet somebody that was, like, actually living for Jesus until, like, October, November of my freshman year at my school. And so I was just commuting back to that church that I got saved at every weekend, and I was really struggling because I didn't know how to follow Jesus. I had a Bible, and somebody asked me what the Bible was about, and I was like, read it, dude. I don't know. Like, I just started reading it, too. So I was really starting to struggle, but then I transferred because I felt a call to ministry, and so I transferred to Southwestern Assemblies of God University, which is near Dallas. And so that's a Bible college, and I was going to chapel every day, and I was a part of like Bible classes, and I was learning a ton. And then I decided that I hated summer, and more so I hated Texas summer. It's like 110 degrees pretty frequently there. It's not like this crazy thing. So I decided that I hated that. I wanted to move. I also was dating my now wife, and she lives in Wisconsin. And so I was like, well, this whole long distance thing kind of sucks. So I'd like to get closer if I can to her, but also I just want to get out of Texas for the summer. And so I started looking for internships, and I found one in Germantown, actually. And so I moved up to Germantown, and I did this life leadership college for my senior year of college. And then I moved to North Dakota. Yeah, there's actually a place colder than Wisconsin. And they don't have these, like, beautiful things called trees and hills there. So you, like, open your door and it's just like, but I moved there to do Chi Alpha. I had heard about Chi Alpha, and actually friend of, I believe he's a friend of this church, Josh Ernst, came and he told me about Chi Alpha, and I was like, okay, I got to do this. So I jumped in, moved to North Dakota to do a training there. And then after a few years there, we were invited to join or to actually start pioneering a Chi Alpha or starting. Pioneering is just how we make ourselves seem cooler. A Chi Alpha, and so we moved to Eau Claire. And I tell you this whole story because along the way, God has radically transformed my life. I had all sorts of sin struggles from lust to partying type things to my self-image to fruit of the Spirit that was just lacking in my life. And throughout the time, God has radically transformed my life. And I would really hope that if you met me when I was 18 and then you met me now, you'd be like, you aren't even the same person. You just look the same. And hopefully I don't look as exactly the same. You just say, like, oh, you've grown with the Lord and you look a lot more handsome. But along the way, God has been radically transforming my life. And I believe God is still transforming my life. And I'm hoping that in 10 years, you're going to see me again. And you're going to be like, oh, you look completely different. Again, more handsome and more like Jesus. But what I realized as I've reflected on my story is that God has transformed my life through discipleship. And never in my life did I really think I was being discipled until I looked back. And what I realized as I look back is that discipleship is not a program. It's not something where you sit down and it's like, all right, like step one of following Jesus, and then step two, and then step three, and step four, step five, and we're going to get you all the way through. I saw you guys are doing Financial Peace University. It's not one of the 7 baby steps of following Jesus. Unfortunately, it's not like that, and maybe a little fortunately, but it is a relational thing. And so throughout there were relationships that I had where people were discipling me and I didn't even know it. And now looking back, I'm so thankful because my life was transformed through discipleship. So if you're a note taker this morning, we're going to talk about discipleship, but the title of this message is We Are World Changers. And I really believe that. I believe that we are world changers. And I believe that we change the world through discipleship. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. So if you have your Bibles or you have the app or you just want to follow along on the screen, anything's okay with me. I'm Gen Z, so I don't really carry a hardcover Bible with me a lot of times, so that's okay. I trust that you're not texting. You're too spiritual for that. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. So a little context, Jesus has died, and then he rose from the grave. So we've won at this point. And this is Jesus' like final thing that he says. It's the last couple verses of Matthew. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So why is discipleship important? So number one, discipleship is important because it's a command. Jesus straight up just said, go and make disciples. It wasn't like, hey, if you're good at it, if you feel like it, if your name is Pastor John, if you're like, I don't know, if you're charismatic, whatever. It just says, go and make disciples. There's no if, there's no if you feel like it, there's no when. It's just go and do this. It is a command. But discipleship is also the most effective way to reach the world. If you were to disciple 2 people every year for the next 20 years, so you meet 2 people and then you send them out and both of those 2 people go disciple 2 people and so on, and you do it like that, and every year you find 2 new people and they do the same thing and they find 2 people that go find 2 people that go find 2 people, so a lot of 2s. You would have reached, in 20 years, there would be 2,105,342 disciples made for Jesus. Now, if you were to try to do that just by, like, preaching, which is kind of ironic because I'm preaching right now, but if you were to try to do that by preaching, you would have to preach to 288 people a day. That's 288 new people every single day for 20 years. And that would also mean that you have 100% success rate, that every time you preach, everyone in the audience, and Pastor John's laughing because this isn't how it goes, everyone in the audience would come and come to know Jesus every single time you preach for 20 years, which would be incredible. I don't know anyone that's ever had that success rate. And not everyone can or even wants to or should preach. But everyone can and is commanded to make disciples. And discipleship changes the world. So disciple makers are world changers. If you want to change the world, number one, we need to first be a disciple. So I've been married for, it'll be 3 years this July, so whatever the math is for that, like three quarters of years. But one of the things my wife and I really like to do is for dinners is we'll get a rotisserie chicken, and then we'll do like three or four different things with it. Which we have a Costco membership, so we just go and it's like $5 to get a rotisserie chicken, and then you can eat for a couple of days straight with just like one thing, and you can get really creative with it. So we were on our way to go get a rotisserie chicken and some other groceries, and I was driving. I typically get sick. I don't know about any of you if I don't drive, so I pretty much always drive. And my wife is sitting beside me, and she was talking, and I was kind of in my own world. I don't know, maybe this is like a guy thing, but how many of you just like can zone completely out and be thinking about something? Yeah. So unfortunately, I do that more than I would like to admit. And so I was driving, and I was thinking about I don't even know what, but and my wife is talking, and I keep going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so she thinks I'm listening. And then I come up with this incredible idea that we could make chicken soup with the rotisserie chicken. And so I'm like, hey, we could make chicken soup. And I'm expecting, like, applause or, like, oh, my gosh, that's such a good idea. I'm craving chicken soup. But she looks at me kind of like, and she's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, what? And she's like, I just said that. And so this incredible idea that I had was actually her idea. But some of us are like that with Jesus. We're with Jesus, but we aren't really listening to him. We aren't really with him. I think we all have fallen in this category at some point where we are with Jesus, but we aren't really a disciple of Jesus because we're not really listening to him. We're not really obeying him. We're not really doing anything. We're just kind of following him. We're around him, but we're not with him. And I think in Scripture it shows a couple of different groups of people. And I think it, don't get me wrong, it is good to be a follower of Jesus. It is good. But it is better to be a disciple of Jesus. And I think there's a couple things where you see this. So there's the 12. So the 12 disciples that most people know, whether you're in church or not in church. But then there's the 72, and that's like a little bit bigger circle of people that follow Jesus in the Gospels. Then there's the 4,000, and then they even say the crowds. And so there's people that are following Jesus that don't really know him. They're not really hanging out with him, but they hear his teachings. They're maybe in modern times, they'd maybe be like at church on Sunday, but then they're kind of just like putting stuff down and just kind of following him, but not really doing anything. They're maybe like watching what Jesus is doing, but they aren't participating in what Jesus is doing, and they aren't knowing Jesus. They're not hanging out with him personally, but they see him and they know who he is. But we need to know Jesus. It's not something like we need to know of Jesus, like how I know of Kirk Cousins, who, again, is the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't actually know him. I know there are people that do, but I'm not one of those people. And so it would be a lie and it'd be silly for me to say that I have a personal relationship with him. When I don't spend any time with him, I guarantee you he couldn't tell you anything about me. But we need to be disciples that know and have a relationship with Jesus. And so in order to be a disciple, we have to do a few things. One, we have to follow Jesus. So if you're following Jesus, you're in that first step. You're following him, you're listening to him, you're like hearing what he says, you're seeing him for who he is, you may be recognizing and acknowledging that he is Lord, but then we have to do a couple other things. Number two is we have to obey him. So it's not enough to just hear like, oh, hey, you're supposed to forgive others, but we have to actually forgive others. Excuse me. which is really, really hard. And then number three, we have to know Jesus. And I don't mean like know him how I know Kirk Cousins or we know celebrities, but know Jesus, where you could say things about him that only people who know him would know, or that he could say things about you that only people who know you would know, because you're sharing your life and allowing him to share his life with you. And number four, we have to give up everything for Jesus if we want to be a disciple. There are things that we're going to have to give up. Maybe sometimes they're not even like bad things, but sometimes they're things that we just have to say, you know what, Jesus, like, I'm going to live my life open hand with this. And if this is something that's keeping me from you, I'm going to say, Jesus, I will step closer to you and put this aside. So we have to be willing to give things up for Jesus. I really believe that God is moving in your life. If you're here this morning, God is moving in your life. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He really does. He wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to step from, okay, I'm just a follower, to, okay, now I am a disciple. And he wants you to be in that deep relationship. John kind of refers to himself in his gospel as the one Jesus loved, which some people laugh about. I think it's kind of funny, but it's also really cool. But God wants you to step into that relationship where you could call yourself the one that Jesus loved. He wants you to step deeper. And so that means we have to do things like spend time with him daily, listen to him, sometimes stop. Just stop for a few minutes in your day and just acknowledge the presence of God in your life. Go to something like the Alpha course that's going on here. Go to a small group. Go to church on Wednesdays. Just spend time with Jesus. Give yourself every opportunity to get to know him better. It is God's will to know you and for you to be a disciple. One of the things I tell our students all the time is that what God has done in you, he wants to do through you. So if you want to change the world, you have to first be a disciple. There's no other way around it. You have to be a disciple first, because God wants to do in you what he has done in you. And if he hasn't met you and he hasn't made relationship with you, and you haven't allowed him to make you a disciple, then he can't do that through you. And disciples change the world. So number one is be a disciple. Number two is find. In order to change the world, we need to find. So find what? Find other people to make disciples of. Jesus sought out the disciples. There isn't anywhere where like someone came up and filled out like a sign-up sheet or an interest form, but Jesus went out and found who the disciples were. He found them and he called them. Disciples, I have not really made any disciples that have come to me. Almost all of them I have had to pursue. You have to pursue. And so that leads to this next question of, okay, Stephen, well, where do I find people to make disciples of? And my super great answer is pretty much anywhere. If it is a human being, you can make a disciple out of them. But I would start with friendships. People that you are friends with, that you have a relationship with, invite them deeper. Invite them to go further. Look for people who are faithful, available, and teachable. Those people are the easiest people to make disciples of. And you can grow in all three of those. But it is much easier to make a disciple of someone who is faithful, available, and teachable than someone who maybe is none of those, or maybe somebody who's lacking one or two of those. But just choose someone. And if you're too afraid to talk to them, if you're too afraid to invite them to church, if you're too afraid to invite them to Alpha or whatever it might be, start praying for them. Make a commitment right now to pray for them every day. And say, Jesus, I lift up, insert whatever your friend's name is. I ask that you would help them come to know you, that you would give me words to speak to them, that you would bring them closer to you. You would give them opportunities to come to know you. And pray that every day. And eventually you're going to have the courage to go talk to them. God is going to give you the courage. There's a pastor named Francis Chan. I don't know where he lives now, but he used to be in California leading a really nice, really large church. Maybe some of you know him. He's written a couple of books, too. But he was pastoring a church in, like, the Malibu area, so obviously super nice. It's no Appleton, Wisconsin, though, I'll tell you that. But he was living in, like, a really nice beach house, too. And so he was sitting on the beach in Malibu, California, really suffering. And he was crying out to God, and he was like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, God? Like, what is your will for me to do? And he said that he felt like God spoke to him and said, are you kidding me, Francis? And just stopped him and checked him and said, are you kidding me, Francis? There are people all over the world who are dying without knowing me. And you are sitting at your beach house in Malibu, one of the prettiest, probably most gorgeous places in the world, and you are asking me what your next steps are? It's simple. Go tell people about me. We don't need God to open the ceiling or the skies and say, Stephen, go do this. The Bible makes it very clear. We are to go make disciples, and there are people, even in the Fox Valley area, that are dying without knowing Jesus. Go and tell them about Jesus. Number three is feed. So number one, we need to be a disciple. Two, we need to find people to make disciples. Number three, we need to feed those disciples. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the paralytic man. And maybe some of you are familiar with that. But just to refresh you, for those of you like me that have forgotten, Jesus is teaching in this house, and there's a paralyzed guy who he can't walk. That's what being paralyzed does. And so his friends carry him in on this mat, and they can't get to the door, so they like break through the roof and then lower him in so that Jesus can be with him. And I don't know for sure, but from my reading, it doesn't really seem like they necessarily know for sure how Jesus is going to heal him, or even if Jesus is going to heal him. They just know that Jesus is this incredible guy. At this point, maybe they know he's the Messiah, maybe not. But they're like, I don't know what you need, but Jesus is what you need. And so they lower him into this room, and then Jesus heals him, and his life is forever changed. And we need to do the same thing with people we're making disciples of. We need to bring them to Jesus, because here's the truth is, I don't know what you need. Any person in this room right now, I do not know what you need, but I know that you need Jesus. And I know that if you encounter Jesus, that in just one moment, everything in your life can change. When I was growing up, when I got saved, I was going to a church that said, in one moment with Jesus, everything changes. They said it almost every Sunday, because it's true. Everything changes. And the source of discipleship, really the source of everything, is God. And so we have to bring our disciples to God. So someone that you are discipling or pouring into or trying to help come to know Jesus, just bring them to God. It doesn't have to be some like thus saith the Lord thing, but just share what God is doing in your life. Invite them to church. Invite them to opportunities where they're going to hear about God. Invite them to come hang out with you and some people that also follow Jesus. It will make it so much easier to just share and bring them in. And again, what God has done in you, he wants to do through you. So if God has done something incredible in your life, I was meeting with a student yesterday that was like, in the last 2 years, God has really healed me from this struggle, and he's changed my life. And I was like, dude, pursue that. Look for people that are also struggling with that and help them. God wants to take people who have been through things and help them grow someone closer to him. I don't know what you've been through, but maybe God is speaking to you right now and telling you, bringing something up that you have gone through that you can help others through and help bring others closer to Him. Number four is fight. So one, be a disciple. Two, find. Three, feed. And four, fight. Sometimes it is hard to make disciples. Maybe you've had the friend, or maybe you have been the friend that all of a sudden is just like completely AWOL. Nobody hears from you. But sometimes that happens with discipleship, and people are like, hey, man, how you doing? And you don't hear anything for a couple of weeks, and then it's like, good. That's it. That's all you hear. And then you're like, oh, hey, you want to hang out sometime? And then you don't hear anything like for a month or two, and it's like, been busy, sorry. And you're like, okay, well, I don't see where this person is. But don't give up. Don't quit. We have to keep pursuing. Scripture says that Jesus leaves the 99 to pursue the one. And we have to do the same thing. We have to pursue people that sometimes maybe don't even really want to be pursued. And that doesn't mean that you have to like chase them down with a Bible and be like, hey, I told you to come to church and you're not coming. But just say like, hey, I want to have relationship with you. And even if they start to reject Jesus, still just have relationship with them and love them. You don't have to shove it down their throat, but I promise you, it will be worth it if you continue to pursue them. And sometimes it goes slower than we want it to go. I'm just going to give you that. Sometimes it takes years for someone to come to know Jesus. But don't quit. God didn't quit on you. Don't quit on someone else. And we really see this, we really see that God didn't quit through the fact that the fall started in Genesis 3. So if you have a Bible, you can just look and see, okay, here's Genesis 3, and then go all the way to like Matthew 28 is when really salvation kind of starts and really where the church kind of starts as we know it. So do that and then just hold the pages and see how long that is. And then also realize that like not all of recorded history is there and not everything that ever happened in the world is there. So even look at the timeline, and it's been so long that God spent pursuing us. And time again, there was failure, which again was on our side in the Old Testament. If you want to see how much humanity really needs Jesus, just read the Old Testament. But there is failure after failure after failure to live up to God's standard. But God keeps pursuing, and He keeps coming, and He finally sends Jesus. God didn't quit, so we shouldn't. And sometimes you might fail making disciples. I have. But don't quit. Keep trying. Keep finding people. There's no one that is a lost cause. And if you want to see where this is in Scripture, look at Saul, who then becomes Paul. Saul was killing Christians, and then he came to know Jesus through a really radical way. And then he then goes and makes so many disciples, and actually a lot of what we do now actually was really influenced by Paul, who, again, probably for most of us, we would have been like, I'm not talking to this dude about Jesus. Like, he's probably going to kill me, and he likely would have tried to. But Jesus met him and changed his life, and because of that, all of us are influenced by Paul. And like I mentioned, my friend earlier, Jacob, it took him over a year to get connected and come to know Jesus. Actually, it was probably like a year and a half before he really started to get it and started running towards Jesus. And not all of that was always inviting, but it can be a very long process. And I just want to encourage you, don't quit. And a last point, number five, is fling. So one, be a disciple. Two, find. Three, feed. Four, fight. And five is fling. Discipleship doesn't stop with someone being built up to be more like Jesus. it continues to sending them out to make other people be more like Jesus. If we want to change the world, we have to really get good at this last piece, is sending people out. They have to be sent out in order to change the world. If we are making disciples well, they go and do what we do. They go and make other disciples. Look at Jesus' disciples through the Gospels. Just read, choose any Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, doesn't matter. Read that and then read the book of Acts. The people that Jesus was pouring into then go in the book of Acts and start changing the world. Because what God has called us to do is come to know him, grow in our faith, and go. He hasn't called us to stay and do nothing but to go. I have a friend named Oli. He was one of our students when we lived in Fargo. In his first year, him and this other student named Jackson would actually come over. This is before I was married, so this is the only way that it flew. But they would come over to my apartment. It was during COVID, so we couldn't meet on campus. But they would come over, and they would like kind of invite themselves sometimes, which was great. But sometimes it was like, dude, I want to go to sleep. And they would come over and they would ask questions. They would just want to hang out. They would want to know more about Jesus. They'd ask me to pray for them. All sorts of things. They were just super hungry to know God. And again, they would even stay sometimes till like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I had a couple of roommates at the time. And one time we were up playing games and we lost track of time until one of my roommates came out to like make coffee and breakfast for work. And we were still up hanging out. So they were just pursuing, and they just wanted to know Jesus more. They wanted discipleship. But then that next year, Oli and I led a small group together, and in that small group, we had about 20 students, which is pretty big. That's a large small group, but it wasn't like because of me, but it was because Oli was going out and he was finding people. He was inviting them. He was hanging out with them. And he was doing what we had done the year before, hanging out with them till late hours with them. And that campus, that group started to change and transform. And I believe now that group is just continuing to grow. But it's all because he took what God had done in his life and went and started doing that for other people. I really believe that Fox Valley Church has the opportunity to change the Fox Valley area forever. That this church has the opportunity to transform this area and even further. So I'm going to close here in just a second, but I want to challenge you with this. What if, as a church, Fox Valley Church began to send each other into our jobs, our families, our homes, clubs, after-school activities, carpools, whatever you are a part of, wherever there are people that don't know Jesus, and we started to send each other as disciple makers? What could God transform here in the Fox Valley area? And if we all started doing that, even just forget doing two every year, what if we just did one every year that would go and make a disciple? If I came back in 10 years, what would it look like if we all just decided to make one disciple every year for 10 years? So as we close, I'm just going to ask that you close your eyes, bow your head. I want to pray for two things. Number one is if you are someone in my first point where I was talking about being a disciple, not just being a follower, but you want to take that next step, and you're like, Stephen, I have been a follower of Jesus for quite some time, but I want to be a disciple. I want to know Jesus how John, who wrote the gospel, knew Jesus. I just want to ask you to slip up your hand. There's nothing like crazy about it. But if you're in that spot and you just want to know Jesus more, You want to be a disciple. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand just so I can be praying with you. And so we'll pray about that in just a minute. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And you can slip it right back down whenever you raise it. So we'll pray for that in just a minute. But then the second question that I have is, if you're in here and maybe you've been a disciple for a while, maybe you're really growing as a disciple, but you have maybe somebody in your life, or maybe you don't have somebody in your life, and you're in that stage where you need to find. Or maybe you're in the stage where you need to feed, or maybe fight, or send someone out that you've been discipling. And you just want to take that next step in making disciples. I just want to ask you to slip up your hand. And again, there's nothing crazy about it, but I just want to be praying for you. And we're going to pray for that in just a second. So we'll pray for the first one first and then this second one. But thank you. Yeah, thank you. You can lower your hands, but let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you have loved us so much, that you came and you gave your life so that we could live in relationship with you. And I pray, God, that you would help us take that step from being a follower to being a disciple. Jesus, that we would know you intimately, that we would obey you, that we wouldn't just follow you, we would obey what you say, and that we would know you, God. We would know you intimately, and that you would know us. And Jesus, that we would be willing to give up anything and everything to follow and know you. Jesus, I pray that our relationship with you would become our biggest, like, most important thing in our life. And Jesus, for those who raised their hand for that second question, God, I just pray that you would help us to take that next step. Help us to find people to make disciples of, God. Open our eyes to see those who are hungry and thirsty for you, Jesus. And I pray also that you would help us to feed, God. Give us words, give us opportunities to bring people closer to you, God. And what our passion, what our drive, our desire just be to bring people closer to you. And then, Jesus, I pray that you would give us a never quit attitude, that we would fight for disciples. We would fight for people to come to know you. And Jesus, I pray that we would fling, that we would send people out. We would send people out to come and bring other people to know you more. Jesus, we love you and we praise you, and we ask that you would be transforming lives all across the Fox Valley area. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today, and I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.